Hi, it's Melissa Moore, and welcome to Mile High Magazine. Happy to have you with us on this Sunday morning, and looking forward to the conversation today with Maria Trujillo with the Colorado Human Trafficking Council. Good morning, Maria.
Good morning, Melissa.
Well, it is good to have you on with us, and let's kind of start with some of the basics for folks, because I think they hear the word human trafficking, and it sounds big, and it is. But break it down for us. Explain exactly what it is.
I think that's a great place to start. Human trafficking is the exploitation of someone for their compelled labor. And that could be through commercial sex, or it could be other forced labor types, such as in construction, hospitality, restaurants, things like that. And it's through the use of force, fraud, or coercion. So An individual is compelling, forcing, defrauding, or coercing someone to work in a particular area, and they are not receiving any pay, they're not receiving any benefit from that work, and so that person's being exploited.
And what is, I think you were right, you know, you brought up the sex aspect, and especially with the Jeffrey Epstein story in the news so much. I mean, I think a lot of people are hearing those stories, but you brought up the hospitality industry as well, and construction, because it is not just about sex, it can be all different kinds of form of labor, is that correct?
Absolutely. I think the sex trafficking piece gets a lot of the headlines and the splashy headlines, and gets the attention because it's very, it's big and it's moral and all of these things. But actually, human trafficking is both labor trafficking and sex trafficking. And actually, more than 60% worldwide are involved in labor trafficking rather than sex trafficking. And that could involve so many different types of industries. As I mentioned, here in Colorado, we see that in construction. We see that in the hospitality industry. We see that also in forced criminality. So individuals being forced to engage in criminal activity like drug running trying to steal people's identity, things like that. We also see it, in our agricultural industry and all these different places. And so it is actually the biggest part, that there's the vast majority of victims are within forced labor than sex trafficking. But certainly sex trafficking gets more of the headlines.
Well, and something you just said, you talked about our state here in Colorado. So let's just clarify that human trafficking is going on here in Colorado.
Absolutely. Human trafficking does happen here in our state. And Colorado sees human trafficking of our citizens, both U.S. citizens, legal permanent residents, and foreign nationals. Mm-hmm. We see it happening to all different types of individuals, all genders, all age, young, old, and all different socioeconomic backgrounds. So I think there's also often a misconception that if you are well-educated, you can't be tricked into human trafficking. And I've definitely seen cases here in Colorado where highly educated nurses from the Philippines were recruited to work here in Colorado and ended up in a human trafficking situation.
Yeah, that is a fascinating story. Tell me a little bit more about that story. How did that happen?
Yeah, it happened many years ago. And as you may know, a lot of the Filipino health industry is follows the U.S. system. And so all the nurses and different people can be accredited here in Colorado or here in the United States. And so they often are recruited. Often we see a nurse shortage here in our state and across the country. And so there's this recruitment effort to bring U.S. trained Filipinos in the healthcare system over here. And they were promised a visa, and they were promised a high wage. They're actually promised to work as professors at a school, as a nursing professor.
Oh my gosh.
And so a highly paid job. And the picture of the university was actually a picture of Loretta Heights down on South Federal. And they didn't know that that was a false picture. And so it was this whole scheme of recruiting these highly trained individuals to come here for what they thought was a really lucrative job, a really prestigious job, a really high paid job. And at the end, the person who was recruiting was also committing visa fraud because he was not actually going through the right channels to get those visas. And these individuals actually ended up working in nursing homes throughout the Denver metro area and having to give their wages to the trafficker.
Oh, my goodness. I can't even imagine. So how did you find out about that story and get involved?
That was a pretty old story, and it did go, it was prosecuted and convicted by the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Denver area. So it was, I think it happened in 2005. Mm-hmm. So it was something that happened quite a while ago. But I've really, you know, I've been involved in the issue of human trafficking way back since 2006. And these are very common stories. And as you hear more of these stories, I couldn't help myself but to come involved and be passionate about this issue and be part of the solution.
Right. I mean, you hear the stories, and I thought what you said, too, was such a good point to make, that it can be very highly educated people. It can happen to almost anyone.
Absolutely. And I have lots of friends and people are like, oh, well, I'm probably not vulnerable to human trafficking because I'm old and no one would want to kidnap me from a parking lot. I'm like, yeah, I mean, that is a small percentage of human trafficking. And I'm like, unfortunately, that's less than 3% of human trafficking incidents start with a kidnapping of some kind. And so not feeling like you're a good commodity to get kidnapped doesn't prevent you from being a trafficking victim. It's really about the various vulnerabilities we possess, like the need to want to have a good job, the desire to live in the United States, the desire to have have love, attention, and affection. Like, you don't have a successful family unit, so you're looking outside that family unit and the friends that you have at school, and they're looking for something else. And you look for that in the arms of a intimate partner who makes you feel important and loved and cared for, and then that turns into potentially a trafficking situation.
Sure.
Or you're kicked out of the home because you've identified someone, LGBTQI+, and you're out on the streets, don't have a family or home to take care of you, and you are in a vulnerable position in terms of needing to meet your basic needs, and someone comes up and like provides you a roof over your head and a place to and food and a place to stay in exchange for providing sexual services, for example. And those are stories all from the Colorado area.
Right. And I know I hear those and it's heartbreaking to think, but it's happening often. Am I hearing you right? This is not just a one-time event or two-time event. This is happening every day all over the state.
Absolutely. It is a issue that happens 365 days out of the year. It's not something that just happens during the NBA finals or during a Super Bowl, but it does happen every day, and it happens all over our state. And I think that's a big message, is that, you know, a lot of people will think, oh, this is a metro issue, this is a Denver issue. These are cases that happen all over the state. I've been to the Four Corners. I've been all the way out to Burlington. I've been in the ski resort areas. These are all places that human trafficking can take place.
And what are some of those signs that as people are watching and looking around them, what are maybe some of the giveaways that somebody would know, hey, that person looks like they may be in trouble. Hey, something about that situation doesn't seem right.
I think that's a great question. And unfortunately, it's very difficult to know if someone is being involved in a human trafficking situation just because it looks like lots of different things. It might look like a domestic violence situation. It might look like a relationship that you may not seem like you might think is odd. But what you can look for is some common signs about risk factors. You know, is there someone being paid very little or not at all for their work? Are they not being paid because do they make a comment that they owe money back to their employer for things like housing and food? Does the person feel like they are constantly having to check in with someone, that there's someone like overseeing and controlling their movements, even though they may not be physically there. Mm-hmm. But if that person is physically there, is there another person who's very controlling, answering questions for that person, not really allowing them to have their own autonomy? Those are things to look for. And also, you know, there's force obviously involved in lots of human trafficking cases. So are there multiple signs of of force and, you know, bruises at different stages of healing, is there, you know, is that, how is a person's demeanor? Like, are they really afraid to talk on their own, be alone, those kinds of things? But it is a very complicated issue and very challenging to really to detect because of all the nuance that goes into it.
And is there also, you were talking about maybe somebody who doesn't have the home life that they want and they're searching for that love. I would imagine there's also an online component where they're looking for people online to try and lure in too.
Yes, the online social media has, and the online environment has become a huge place for recruitment to happen into human trafficking. And I think the big thing is that most trafficking situations don't happen with a stranger. The person the trafficker is works very hard to develop a trusting relationship before turning the tables into a trafficking situation. And often social media and online environments provide an opportunity to develop that relationship, be it a relationship with an employer, like, I have this great job opportunity, let me tell you about it, or it being more of an intimate relationship and developing a trusting relationship that way and becoming, you know, an intimate partner. And then that's, and then once they've earned your trust is when the tables often turn. Mm. And so it actually becomes far more difficult for that person to feel like they could leave because they have this complicated relationship with their trafficker that they've built this trusting relationship with and aren't really even clear if they're a victim of anything,
right,
or that this is even a crime. So that's also really complicated too.
Well, and it's got to be terrifying too for parents with their kids going online and what they're finding out there.
I agree. I think it would be incredibly challenging to be a parent in this day and age, because really any kind of app that has direct messaging a piece to it is an opportunity for a trafficker to communicate with a person who might be vulnerable to the lures and the grooming that they go through in terms of recruiting someone.
Yeah, just
and so
scary.
I think parents need to be very vigilant, even more so, you know, on social media and on online places than ever before.
So if a parent or just somebody notices a situation, comes across one, something about it doesn't feel right, they suspect that human trafficking is going on or maybe there's a possibility there, what is that next step that they need to do?
Thank you for asking that question. We are lucky enough here in Colorado to have a Colorado statewide dedicated hotline run by the Laboratory to Combat Human Trafficking. It's a 24/7 hotline. That number is 866-455-5075. You could call as many times as you need. You could remain anonymous. It is up to the caller's discretion if they want to engage with law enforcement or not. So it's really important, if you suspect something, to really reach out to the Colorado Human Trafficking Hotline, because they have over 50 trained hotline advocates that speak multiple languages, that could really work through what's happening and know the right people to connect that individual. And it could be a connection to law enforcement, if that's the choice. It could be a connection to service providers, or it could just be a connection to someone who understands where you're going through and needing some assistance. Everything from legal services to shelter to mental health care, case management, transportation, all of that's available. And I'll say the number one more time. It's 866-455-5075. They also operate a text line. And so if you feel more comfortable, I know a lot of people out there feel much more comfortable texting, they can have a text conversation with a hotline advocate. And that number is 720-999-9724.
All right. Give that text number again out one more time, because I think you're so right. For somebody who's in a vulnerable situation, not being able to talk on the phone could be a reality, but being able to text might be that best option.
Absolutely. So that number is 720-999-9724. 24.
Maria Trujillo from the Colorado Human Trafficking Council, thank you so much for your time today. Always great information and always great to talk to you. I'm Melissa Moore. Thank you for spending your Sunday here with us at Mile High Magazine. Go out, have a blessed day, be kind to everyone, and I'll see you back here next week.